Are you obsessed with Los Angeles? Head over heels in love with the City of Angels? Well, this is the podcast for you. At LifeHacks LA, we hack the best in arts, eats, and activities in Los Angeles. So join us and become an LA hacker. Baby, baby. Hello, LA Hackers. This is your host, Stefan, and welcome to episode number 53 of the Life Hacks LA podcast. Okay, today we have on our guest, Sean, from All About Los Angeles. With All About Los Angeles, Sean shares some of the history behind some of these famous landmarks you might recognize from your favorite TV shows, movies, music videos, and even historical events. What's really cool about how Sean does his content is he will actually go out to a place like a house or a restaurant that was the backdrop from some iconic scene, and then he'll take a picture of himself there and split screen it with the original picture from the film, TV show, or historical event. He will then give you a little bit of the history behind it and show you where it's at so you can go check it out for yourself. Now, if you love to learn about the history of LA film and television, you're definitely going to want to check out this conversation with Sean. And as always, stay tuned for the end where I will share my own very special LA iconic location hack. All right, enjoy this interview with All About Los Angeles, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey, what's going on, LA Hackers? I'd like you to please welcome our next guest to the podcast. His name is Sean, and he's from All About Los Angeles. How you doing today, Sean?
Doing good, Stefan. Thank you.
So it's really good to have you on. I've been following your account for a while. And before we get into talking about that, I wanted to find out a little bit more about you. Where are you from originally, and how did you come to Los Angeles?
Yeah, first of all, I would like to thank you for allowing me to be your guest on today's podcast. It's a real honor and a pleasure. My name is Sean. I was born in Sacramento, California. At a very young age, I moved to the San Diego area where I grew up all through grade school. And then I moved to the LA area in 2008. And I've always wanted to be closer to the action, you know, where everything is happening. This whole city is fascinating inside and out. You know, it's the city of dreams, the city of angels.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, actually, San Diego is one of my favorite spots in America. You know, like I could totally see myself living in San Diego. But people who are from there or have lived there a long time told me that there's not as much to do there as it seems, like when you're just visiting. Is that true?
Yes, correct. And especially when it comes to my hobby here, there's only so much filming locations down there. Even though, you know, Anchorman was set in San Diego, a lot of it was filmed in L.A. And, yeah. You know, and they did film Top Gun out there. And so I went out there to check out some Top Gun spots, but not much other than that. And maybe, you know, the San Diego Zoo, SeaWorld, Padres baseball game.
Yeah, they even lost the football team. L.A. even took the football team now.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, beautiful city, beautiful weather. Can't go wrong with our whole state here of California.
Yeah, true. It's still Southern California. And, you know, now that you bring it up, because there was a time in L.A. where they were doing filming in a lot of different places. I'm kind of curious why they didn't do more filming in San Diego, because it has a lot of great locations, especially like outdoor locations, right?
Right. Yeah, but, you know, there's still, you know, tons of spots out there. But, you know, they can make Los Angeles into New York, you know, Philadelphia, San Diego. But, that's, you know, true. especially if they travel to San Diego, you know, time is money. So it just takes them more time to get down there. They want to stay local within the 30-mile zone.
Yeah, that's very true. I used to work on a studio lot at Fox Studios, and that's when you really realize that all they need to capture is what's inside that camera frame, right? Because they would take the facades of these buildings, these actual real office buildings that people worked in, and in one day, they would transform everything to look like something different. For example, one day I came to work and they had the office building look like the FBI. You know what I mean? But it's just like, because it's only what you need to fit in that camera. Like right outside of that, it doesn't matter. And then, like to your point, they had a New York street and they had, you know, it made it look like it was on the East Coast.
Right. And, you know, that's what's so great about the movie magic, is that it sucks you in so much that it really makes you think that it's real life. And, you know, that's what's so fascinating. It's real hard to put your head around it, but to people that are very into it, you know, that's what it's all about, is having that perception or perspective.
Yeah, definitely. The magic of Hollywood. All right. So before we talk more about movies and what you're doing with films and locations, I'd like to jump back into LA really quick. So you mentioned you've been here since 2008, you said?
Yes, 2008.
Okay. So that's quite a bit of time. I was just curious, like, what is it about Los Angeles? I mean, you mentioned a few things, but can you expand on that you enjoy so much, or what makes LA so special?
Yeah, right. You know, I think a main reason that makes LA so unique is the history that revolves around it all. And history is number one, and we really need to keep it alive, you know, from the mountains to the beaches to the downtown skyline. LA is unique also for being the movie capital of the world, and people from all over the world flock to LA, seeing so much of it on TV. They want to see it for themselves. And the city of LA is the ultimate tourist destination. And aside from that, LA has cultures from all walks of life and is one of the most diverse cities in the entire world. And also simple things like great weather, you know, the beaches, or, I mean, endless bumper to bumper traffic too. But, you know, I love LA so much because what I said earlier, the history. LA has too much history that I'm still learning more and more each and every day. And, you know, LA really revolves around iconic movie locations, national historic landmarks, and even the morbid side of LA, like deaths.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's something I've learned over the last couple of years too. Like, I just knew LA history on the surface, but anytime you dive into any category of Los Angeles, whether it's downtown or some other part of LA, or you talk about Hollywood or murder mysteries, like you talked about, there's always this fascinating, like, deep history once you just get a few layers underneath.
Exactly. And, you know, for me personally, I really go in depth and show things that really doesn't really cross people's minds until they see it.
Yeah. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, because I'm a big fan of your account, All About Los Angeles. I found it on Instagram, of course, because I'm always looking for cool accounts that have to do with LA. But I was wondering if you could just share with our audience what it's all about.
Yes, I'd be happy to, you know, and it's exactly what it is, All About Los Angeles. All About Los Angeles is a website dedicated to historical Los Angeles and California that I pretty much started as a reference and a resource for anybody who would like to go and play tourist for themselves and see a whole different side of LA history that doesn't even cross their mind until they see it for themselves. And, you know, I've been exploring LA history for many years now and didn't really document too much until the recent years, because, you know, smartphones, you know, 5 to 10 years ago weren't really as good as they are now when it comes to video quality or photo quality. And I had a whole collection of photos and videos stored up in my gallery. And I thought to myself, why not start a public page where I can share these cool photos of places I've been to other people to see and enjoy. So in late 2017, I started an Instagram page dedicated to sharing all the cool photos I had. And so I thought of the name, a simple title, it stuck. And a few months ago, I started my website as a source for people to, you know, I post detailed articles of the locations where people can go on there and find the address and go there themselves. And my website goes very in depth when I go to the types of spots that I visit. And, you know, the site's still a work of art. I'm still working on it as I speak. But in my opinion, you can make your own Hollywood sightseeing tour from just going from my website, go around and exploring yourself. And I've used to use many online resources when I started out, so why not start my own site to add to the pile and give back? You know, I do for the fun and passion, and in a way it's a personal blog to document all of my times in LA, California, and all over. And All About Los Angeles is very unique, informational, and a very resourceful for Insider LA.
Yeah, very well said. And you know, one of the things I enjoy about it is I think that anyone who loves LA really likes when you're watching a movie or TV show and you're like, oh my God, I know where that is. You know, perfect example is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or that movie Nightcrawler, but there's a thousand TV shows like that. And one of the things that you do, I'm more familiar with your Instagram account, so I got to follow up on your website, but one of the things you do on your Instagram account is you take these iconic shots in movies and television shows that people might not have necessarily even realized where the background is. And you explain, you give the backstory, and then you have a picture of you at that place now versus where it was, a picture in the movie as well.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that process. How do you figure out which scene you're going to show in your account, and how do you go about actually finding those spots?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and that's one of the best parts of LA is the moving and movie and filming locations, and movies mean so much to the human culture, and LA is, you know, the best for it. And I visit any location that I personally find a personal or historic interest for, but I will revisit history is what I call it. I will recreate a photo by mimicking the exact angle the photo was taken, standing in the exact spot. And then I'll splice a photo kind of like then and now. There are many examples on my website and Instagram, but when I make a post, I usually post depending on my mood for the day. I'll try to splice it up with different genres like music, movies. But lately I've been in a Beastie Boys phase and recently did a location hunt of all their LA stomping grounds and made a post on that. But in the description, I'll put what the photo is about, the year it was taken, and where. I always give credit to the original source too, so the photographer, or if the post came from someone else. But when it comes to finding the location, it takes a lot of time sitting down, spending time researching online, search engines, YouTube. It's very time consuming and can get very frustrating at times, but also frequent visits to LA, driving around LA, being familiar with it over the years really helps. But it really gives you a hawk eye too once you drive around knowing the streets, pinpointing where things are. But there are locations that have been already found by other groups. I'd like to give a shout out to Danny O'Connor of the Delta Bravo Urban Exploration Team. You know, they were a big help with finding Beastie Boys spots and also a lot of music landmarks in LA. So props to him, and also Lindsay at imnotastalker.com. she was very helpful too. But, you know, I use these other websites as resources, you know, so that's why I started my own, to kind of give back. You just have to know where to look in finding these spots. And I'm happy to know, to my knowledge, although there's been a lot of spots already found, to my knowledge, there are locations that I posted that I've never seen around anywhere else. So, you know, I'm happy to keep sharing, and so we can all keep the history alive. If anybody ask me where this is at, I'll tell them. You know, it's not a game. This isn't a contest or a race. I'm here to share history and keep it alive, because LA is tearing it down every day.
Yeah, I can see that it's a lot of work, because, for example, I'm looking at this Dennis Hopper picture you have on your Instagram, and it says UCLA, but I can't tell that it's UCLA just from looking at the picture. So I'm like, okay, some research must have been done to figure out exactly
right
where this was. And also, to your point, you were talking about how you're trying to preserve the history. In a lot of these pictures, you can see the difference. There's either a building that's no longer there, or there's a fence that's there that wasn't there before. So it's kind of cool how you can see how it was when the original picture was taken versus you in the picture. And like you said, you do the same angle and everything, trying to capture the same moment.
Yep, because sometimes, even though it's totally changed, sometimes you'll notice a tree or a crack in the wall. And that's how you know that's the spot.
Yeah, another thing I like about your account is I've seen accounts similar to this, but they generally just do movies, at least the ones I've seen. Yours has historical landmarks, Disney locations, music videos, as you mentioned. So I was wondering if you have a favorite category, and why is that your favorite category? Or is it more just based on your mood, like you said earlier?
Actually, I do have a favorite category, and my favorite category is all of the Disney locations, because when it comes to the photo mashups that I do, that's how I originally started. I started with taking mashup photos of Walt Disney around Disneyland, around Hollywood, and then I eventually expanded. Disney history is important. Disney history, or Disney itself, is a piece of American culture, and 99% of the world loves Disney. We all grew up with Disney somehow, Mickey Mouse. It's the number one entertainment company in the world, pure quality. My favorite movies are Back to the Future trilogy. So, you know, other than Disney, there's a filming location that I always go to no matter what, all the time, is Back to the Future. And they film that all around LA. But pretty much Back to the Future and Disney locations are my favorite to go to.
I was just getting ready to say one of my favorite all-time movies is the Back to the Future series. And you've got a lot of those on there. So it's really cool. I love the Back to the Future ones.
Yeah, great movie. It's timeless.
Also, you've got some surprising ones in here. For example, I was surprised to see this Prince one because they made such a big deal out of that being filmed in Minneapolis. But then you've got the location. I'm not sure if part of the film was filmed in Minneapolis, maybe the club scenes. But
most of the movie actually was filmed over there, but they filmed a couple in LA, a couple underneath the Sixth Street Bridge. And that's also a location that I take no credit for. Those were found by the Delta Bravo team, all the Prince locations. But yeah, they filmed it in Koreatown.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because I'm a big fan of that movie and Prince and everything, and had no idea. And then you, boom, pictures right there. Parts of it were filmed in LA.
The myth busted.
Mythbuster. All right, cool. So I wanted to, I mean, this is a huge question because I'm sure almost every pitcher on here has an interesting backstory. I mean, you've got some really a wide variety of pitchers on here that all have interesting stories behind them. But I was wondering if you could maybe choose one or two that is especially interesting or, you know, quirky or weird backstory that you can share with us.
Yeah, there was one that really stood out. And, you know, I'm more active on my Instagram than my website, but I did make a post about this on my website about the first Disney studios that Walt and Roy Disney started in 1923. And the original building is still standing in the Los Feliz area of Hollywood, 4647 Kingswell Avenue on the corner of Kingswell Avenue and Vermont. And right now it's a mom and pop owned shop called Extra Copy, but this location is the birth where the Walt Disney Company was started and founded since day one. And it's a little upsetting because this location isn't officially recognized as a landmark or historic landmark, neither county, city, state, or national, when the other Disney studios, where the Gelson Supermarket is on Hyperion Avenue in Silver Lake, is an official landmark. And there's a plaque there, there's a plaque on the post, but this, the original first location, is not seen at all. So if they do want to demolish the building, they could if they wanted to. And, you know, somehow we need to make this a landmark status because, once again, Disney is a huge part of Americana and culture, and we need to make it a landmark.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I think I might have read about it now that you bring it up. I might have read about the one you just mentioned, but it's not something that's promoted. And then you even hear about, like, Walt Disney's barn and Griffith Park and those places. You know, they're like revered, but it's interesting you mentioned that one because it's not something that's talked about.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And the house that Walt Disney was living in when Mickey Mouse was drawn is right next to John Marshall High School. So there's just a lot of history around us. People just have to know where to look.
Can you give us an example of one that's, you mentioned, you know, like the murder mystery history of Los Angeles? Can you give us an example of one of those?
One that really stands out to me, it's very, you know, one that nobody would really say a lot. You know, people would say, oh, Black Dahlia murder, stuff like that. I really am interested in the North Hollywood shootout that happened at the Bank of America in North Hollywood at 6600 Laurel Canyon Boulevard.
I remember it well, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just a big deal in history in general because, you know, the police had to change their whole tactics. And, you know, luckily there was no casualties other than the bank robbers. But it was just a big deal back then. And there's a pretty cool museum at the old Highland Park police station at the police museum that has a huge exhibit on that. But if I were to pick that, the North Hollywood shootout or the Onion Field murders, there's a location off of Gower Street, kind of near the Museum of Death, and the car actually parked there, and that's where the robber took, the convict took the cops and drove the cops to an onion field way out in the distance and killed them. But it was called the Onion Field Murders, and it happened right on Gower near the church by Museum of Death in Hollywood, and that's really something that no one knows about. But if you're driving on the 101 freeway, you'll see it'll say the Ian J. Campbell Memorial Highway, and that was a memorial to one of the cops that got kidnapped in the Underfield murders, but there's a good book on it.
That's fascinating. I never heard about that one. So he literally kidnapped them and then took them somewhere?
Yeah, so it changed, that this event also changed how the police approach vehicles because of this incident, but it happened in the early 1960s, and the convict eventually took the cops hostage, kidnapped the cops, from that spot off of Gower Street and took them to the onion field way out, you know, halfway down California, in Central California, and killed them. But it was called the Onion Field Murders, and a main part of it happened in Hollywood.
That's crazy. I mean, there's so many stories like that in Los Angeles history. Like, you know, the Greystone Mansion, the Dehaney family, there was a murder in there. And then even not too long ago, I think it's like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there was was it the Cecil Hotel where that girl mysteriously disappeared in the, you know what I'm talking about?
She was in the water tank.
Yeah. And she was a tourist, but she was acting really weird in the elevator camera footage. So there's always these weird, and you know, there's 100 of them like that, all these crazy stories like that.
Yeah, and you know, people tell me, hey, you know, Sean, that's morbid. Why are you into that? It's not only morbid, it's history. It all falls down to history.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting history. Even though it's a little morbid, it is a little morbid. It's interesting history, right?
LA history, correct.
Yeah, there's actually accounts dedicated just to crazy stuff like that, those crazy stories. So your account's not too morbid. You just throw that in every once in a while, right?
Right, but I am influenced by a guy named Scott Michaels. He's very well known. He runs a company called Dearly Departed Hollywood, and he used to own a shop right across from Hollywood Forever Cemetery. He owns the car that Jane Mansfield died in. He owns the exact car, as well as other artifacts too, but he really specializes with the morbid side of Hollywood, like Charles Manson too.
Is it like a gift shop, or what is he running?
He used to run a shop, but you know, unfortunately during the COVID times, a lot of people were struggling, but he still runs his website, findadeath.com. And you know, he's going to open up a shop very soon somewhere else, but I'm not totally sure, but he really specializes in the morbid side of Hollywood, and good friend of mine.
Yeah, there's a place similar to that that I never got a chance to go to, and unfortunately it's closed. I think it closed in late 2019. It was called Skeletons in the Closet. No, it was called, what was it called? I think it was called Skeletons in the Closet. It was basically a gift shop at the Los Angeles Coroner's office.
So, okay.
Have you heard about that?
I heard something like it, yeah. But, you know, yeah. I have friends that I know that go there all the time, you know, just to check it out. And, you know, they really, you know, are tourist friendly.
Yeah, but it just seems kind of bizarre to me that they would have a gift shop at the coroner's office, and it was like a morbid thing, you know, like they had these gag gifts for like related to death. I don't know, it was just kind of a bizarre thing, but I always wanted to go there because, like you said, it's interesting to see that stuff. But they unfortunately closed down in 2019.
Yeah, hoping, you know, things get better once all the air clears with everything going on right now.
Yeah, this is a little off topic, but since we're on this whole morbid thing, do you know of any other places? Like, there's like the Museum of Death, right?
Museum of Death, which is, you know, right next to the Onion Field area, which is off of Gower and Hollywood Boulevard. And then findadeath.com was a main one. And then, you know, just going to cemeteries, Hollywood Forever Cemetery will have public tours, and you can sign up for that. You know, they're the most grave friendly when it comes to tourists finding celebrity graves. They'll tell you where places are: Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney, Chris Cornell.
Yeah, that's a Hollywood Forever Cemetery is an interesting one to bring up, because it kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Like, there's this kind of morbid fascination in Los Angeles. Like, what other? I've never been to another city that has like a tourist place for a cemetery, you know what I mean? Like, they have rock concerts in there, they have movies, movie screenings. So it's just kind of a quirky thing about Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you don't even have to go there to do grave hunting. You can go there, you know, it's a peaceful park type setting. There's a lot of artwork, marble statues, you know, Forest Lawn Cemetery in Glendale. I took a private tour there recently, and we went through the Grand Mausoleum, and the docent showed me all the stained glass windows, the history behind it, when it was built, you know, and not knowing about the actual architecture of the cemetery more than who's just buried there.
Yeah, I've read about that architecture and I posted about it, but I actually haven't been there, but I heard it's like amazingly beautiful, and it's not what you expect going to a cemetery, right?
Exactly. It's very underrated. I really want to push people to go out and, you know, check out these cemeteries. And, you know, if you want to find somebody that's buried, it's easier than you think.
Yeah. Okay. So this is more of a selfish question, because I want to see you do this. I really enjoy your account. Like I said, I like the pictures, but I think it's something that would fit really well on video. you know, I think it would be like a cool TV show. I noticed you have some YouTube videos and you mentioned your website, but do you have any plans going forward about making this more of a video series where you take people to the location, show them how to get there, tell them the backstory and why it's interesting, that sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I started with my Instagram account and that's the most active. And then I started a YouTube actually, and then my website. And then I recently went out to film a couple videos. And right now I believe I have 40 videos. And then all of the posts that are on my website currently are posts that have videos with it. And then eventually I'll upload everything else I have. But, you know, when I go out on location, I'll post a massive story of my, of what I'm doing for the day on Instagram so people can see, and people love it. I get the thrill when people tell me that they enjoy seeing what I'm doing from different parts of the world. It's crazy what a simple iPhone in your pocket can do globally. And, you know, I'm very lucky to reside in this area. It's the greatest city in the world. And I recently started my YouTube channel with location videos and resources to how to find these spots and where. And the videos are very simple, you know, 2-minute clips that are very straightforward, down to the point, easy to understand, simple editing. I did think about doing a vlog, you know, with all the time that I do with the mashups with the photos, you know, it'll take just a lot more time with the videos as well. And I'm already have a busy schedule in life as it goes with. But I'd like to get more into vlogging. You know, I think I'd be good at it. But you know, what I have on there right now is a start, and I do want to work on that to get better. YouTube.com/allaboutlosangeles.
Yeah, the reason why I bring it up is because, you know, like you said, the YouTube is probably a lot more editing, a lot more time consuming. But I've noticed that on my channel as well. The Instagram videos are very popular because you're not just showing something to do with a picture, but you're actually showing them how to get there. They're experiencing it with you. And I think that really fits well with your account. Like, I'm going to start checking out your stories now because I didn't realize that you were doing a lot of stories on these. But that's a cool thing because then you're showing us how to do it ourselves as well as we're like experiencing it in the moment with you.
And that actually made me think right now. I didn't even think about putting my YouTube videos that are on YouTube right now, transferring to my Instagram and making an IGTV as well. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a really cool concept that I think people would be into that fits really well with video. Okay, so let's get to my next question. It's one of my favorite questions, and I'm excited to ask you about it because you've been here for, what, 12 years now. You obviously go around all around Los Angeles doing these location shoots, so you know the area really well. I wanted to ask if you could describe for us what your dream day in LA would be. From getting up to going to bed, what would happen and where would you go to make it the perfect day for you personally in Los Angeles?
For me personally, first of all, is a day that is organized, structured, and efficient when planning out. And you want to stay in one section of LA for the day. If you're in Santa Monica for the day, don't try to go to Pasadena in the same day, especially with traffic. Stay in the certain areas, find out exactly the locations you want to go to, and see and make a plan how to efficiently hit all those spots without zigzagging and driving around town, because that's the most exhausting, is driving around town, sometimes being in traffic. But it's a dream day to me to do minimal driving and seeing much more. And during the COVID-19 era, the roads were very clear, and I completed a list that I thought would take months, but it only took weeks, you know, because most locations I do are on public roads and, you know, easy to go to. And, you know, if you're at the Dolby Theater, I can think of at least 100 locations in like a 2-mile radius just from that. And the list is endless and full of history. So that's my dream day, is, you know, when playing tourist, less driving and more sightseeing and exploring. It is possible.
Sean, that's great advice because as you can imagine, I get asked all the time, okay, what's the best LA hack? And it's usually from tourists. And I've just recently come to the conclusion, I mean, I've known about that for a while, but that is the best hack, is to take one area at a time. So if you want to see Hermosa Beach, spend the day in Hermosa Beach and Manhattan Beach right next to each other. If you want to spend the day if you want to check out Hollywood, don't try to go to Hollywood and Malibu in the same day. Like, just hang out in Hollywood in the area around it. And not only are you going to see so much more, but like you said, you're not going to have the stress and waste all your time in traffic.
Exactly. That's my number one tip.
Definitely. We're on the same page there. All right. Okay. So Sean, is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you want to share with our audience about LA in general or in its history or any personal hacks about living in Los Angeles?
Yeah. You know, when it comes to my website and the type of work and hobby that I do, you know, people don't know that it exists and it never crosses their mind until they see it. Like people saying, oh, wow, there's actually people out there that do this kind of stuff. I never thought about that. You know, I hear it all the time. And, or, you know, someone saying, I've lived here for 10 years. And I never thought this happened here. Like people have, you know, been here many times and never thought history is right in front of them. And I want to encourage people to look around them, their neighborhood, and even everywhere they go. History is all around. You just have to look for it and know where to find it. LA has its ups and downs, but there's nothing else like it. I say, go search up your favorite movie, find out where it was filmed, most likely in LA, and go visit yourself. It's easier than you think.
Well said, my friend. All right, Sean, so where is the best place for people to go who want to find out more about you or want to find out more about All About Los Angeles?
You can find me on Instagram at All About Los Angeles. I'm on YouTube at youtube.com/allaboutlosangeles and my new website, allaboutlosangeles.com. And I want to thank you for allowing me to be on your podcast. I had a great time and thank you.
It was awesome, buddy. And I'm going to be looking forward to those more and more videos.
I usually have a daily post once a day.
All right, cool. All right, Sean, take care, man.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Sean from All About Los Angeles as he shared some of the best places to find iconic landmarks in LA. If you want to learn more about Sean and what he's doing over there at All About Los Angeles, just go to allaboutlosangeles.com or follow him on Instagram at All About Los Angeles. Okay, on to my special hack for the week. So I'm one of those people who love to see LA in the backdrop of movies and television shows. I get all excited and go, oh, I recognize that place. Oh, I recognize that place. And there's so many movies and television shows out there that use Los Angeles as a backdrop. So when I was thinking about it, I wanted to give something that people could actually use. And one of the most famous recent movies that just, you know, where LA was just a main character in the movie was La La Land. Of course, there's Tarantino movies like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But I picked La La Land just because most of the locations that are in that movie you can actually go and enjoy yourself, like Griffith Observatory and Angel's Flight, and there's just so many others. So what I did is I found this amazing article, I think it's by Curbed LA, and they list out all the locations that were used in La La Land. Awesome, awesome article. And you can find it, I made a shortcut for you, just go to lifehacksla.com/La La Land, L-A-L-A Land. It'll take you to that really great article, and it just shows you all the locations used in the movie La La Land, and you can go there and check them out for yourself. So that's my hack for this week. All right, guys, as always, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you even more if you subscribed and give us a review. And I'll see you next week. Bye.